Five the Bull with Tig, and good morning to you, Daniel.
Been raving about this guy. I had to get my brakes done, which, by the way, I don't know how to do anything like that. You remember when your granddad used to have those ramps and he'd pull the car up, do his own oil?
Yeah, we work on the truck together and stuff like that.
I don't think you're able to do those anymore, are you?
I don't know, because they're so computerized now that, but I do remember specifically, like, being able to get into the hood of a truck and making things work again.
Right. Well, I can't do that. I had to get these brakes replaced, and I called around a bunch of places. A good mechanic's going to be very crowded, right? Mm-hmm. I found a place on Harvard, and it must have been a great place. I think it was like Total Automotive Care, and I was like, hey, need to get my brakes done. How do I go about doing that? He's like, well, you bring it in early in the morning, and it'll take about half a day, and come back and get it later on. I was like, oh, I got to work. So then I kept Googling, and I found Tulsa Mobile Mechanic. And this is a guy named Jason. He'll just come right to your yard and change the old brake
pads. How about that? Do you pay a huge premium for that service? A
couple hundred dollars.
Really?
Total for the whole thing. Like, he came, looked at it, and he goes, I'll run to AutoZone. Let's do it right now. Took him about 45 minutes. It saved me so much trouble.
Yeah, not only that, if he's like a one-man band, I wonder if he actually saved money by having the guy come to your house.
Here's what I think we should do. Me, you, everybody that works on this station, if we need our oils changed, we ought to get the mobile mechanic come out like one day every, how often are you supposed to get these things changed? Six months?
Yeah, whatever
months?
It is, yeah.
Have them do like a whole, like, four or five cars.
We've had something similar to that. We had a guy, I hadn't seen him in a while, but there was like a guy who would come by once a month and just wash all our cars if we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of like that with the oil guy, right? Comes by every now and then and says, hey, load them up if anybody at work, and I'll do it while you're working. And you get out of your job, and then you have your fresh oil.
Yeah, now this guy ain't paying me to say it, but keep that service in mind. So if you had to come to work, he'd come change your brakes right there in the old parking lot.
The mobile mechanic, huh?
Tulsa's mobile mechanic. Said he's got five kids.
Not bad.
Old Jason over there, he needs it.
He probably needs a lot of oil changes to come his way then. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel at 6:27. On Friday morning. How you feeling, Daniel?
I feel great.
At 54 degrees, our high up to about 68 today. Tomorrow, we're high in the 60s and sunny. So things are looking pretty good. You want to do the news now?
Yeah, tomorrow will be a good day for flying. I have to take my mom to the airport, somewhere around this time tomorrow morning. 24 hours, last 24 hours. She's been here for 2 weeks and got to fly out tomorrow.
So you got to get up on a Saturday, the same time you'll get up for work.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm used to it.
All right. Well, God bless you. Take care of your mom.
It's strange that my mom's going out of town. Your brother's coming into town.
You know what Daniel does when he goes to the airport? I don't do this. I don't play this game. But Daniel, like, if I'm going to pick somebody up or drop somebody off, I just go to the door, like, with my car, and I say, goodbye. Daniel parks the car, gets out, walks into the airport.
I walk him in, but whether it be my brother, my mom, I walk him to the security line, and that's where. And then I'll watch them go through security.
You're committed. Well, now, you know, Tulsa has that guest pass. You can actually walk her to the gate if you want to. Oh, you're not going to go that far.
I ain't going to go that far. That's above and beyond.
I'm starting to hear people talk about this eclipse that's coming up very soon. And, like, this weekend I was in Broken Bow with some people, and they were like, the eclipse. And this is from News on 6 regarding the eclipse that's coming up. This is Kristen Weaver.
Here in Tulsa, the moon will cover about 95% of the sun. Now, scientists want to make sure that everybody watches it safely, so they're hosting watch parties like one right here at Guthrie Green. This path shows where the United States will experience a total solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024. In parts of southeastern Oklahoma, the moon will completely cover the sun for a few minutes, creating darkness in daytime. While Tulsa isn't in the path of totality, the moon's shadow will make its presence known.
It's going to get very, very dark, like dusk, you know, like just before dawn, kind of dark, right in the middle of the day.
Chip Lindsay with Discovery Lab says the solar eclipse is a phenomenal event, but it's not safe to view the sun without the proper eye protection.
These are specifically designed to block out the sun's rays so you can safely look at the sun.
If you can't get your hands on the glasses, you can look at the eclipse through a homemade projector or even cast off shadows from trees.
poked a hole in it. Just any hole will do. When you turn it around and look through it, and you get that hole projected on the inside, you'll see an image of the sun there, too.
Discovery Lab, Guthrie Green, and the Tulsa Air and Space Museum are all hosting watch parties. Planetarium Director Brian Kyle says the closer you can get to the path, the better.
And I can say with confidence it is absolutely worth the trip out to wherever you can go, where it's sunny and it's in that path of totality. It is a life-changing event to actually get to see it for yourself.
Well, the only thing I'm worried about is that people are going to be driving, like, you know, distances to get to the 100% path.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's cloudy?
Don't jinx us like that, Manic. That's a very good possibility. It could be cloudy. You can't see it.
Wouldn't that stink? Like you got the RV out or rented an RV and went down there and nothing happened?
I mean, this thing's on a Monday, right? Who could take off work? Could you imagine going to your boss like, I want to go see it. Get dark outside. I feel bad for animals, too. They don't know what the heck's going on.
Well, the birds freak because you and I have been under a total solar eclipse one time. And the birds freak. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I got a thing. I think there's an elephant sanctuary here in Oklahoma. And they were like, hey, come watch the eclipse with the elephants. I'm like, I'm not doing that. They might go nuts. They might go rampaging. They don't know what's happening.
They might freak.
They might think it's the end of the world and those get those tusks going. Did you see that this Michigan teacher says she was fired because of the rap career that she was working on outside of the school? Here's Dominique Brown, whose rap name is Drippin' Honey, talking about why she ended up getting fired from her teaching position.
Nobody even knew I was a rapper until the parent kept continuously complaining. Most time, baby, going crazy like the 80s. The first meeting that I had was like the principal and the dean. They had told me that the parent wished to stay anonymous and she felt as if she didn't like my rap career and that I was a bad influence on the kids because I rap. My mind and my heart was telling me two things. I couldn't see myself giving up my other passion just because somebody didn't like it. They said erase all your content. That was the ultimatum, erase all your content. I'm just like, respectfully, I can't do that.
What are your thoughts on that? You have a kid that's in school. If you found out that one of the teachers was dripping honey, would you want them fired?
Well, was their content of the rap like dirty or something? I mean, no. I mean
I'm sure there was some,
that.
You know, you've heard rap. Yes, of course, there's some things you might consider.
Yeah, I mean, you and I can get fired for something we do outside of work on our personal time. There's an expectation that we represent the company at all times in a positive way. Now, however, if she was just rapping, but there was nothing like nefarious or dirty about it, then they shouldn't have fired her. Teachers, I remember going to the grocery store and seeing one of my teachers in the grocery store. And I thought, oh, she's a regular person, too. Like, you know, it kind of confused me to see a teacher out and about. I thought they just went and taught and that's all they did.
Well, I wonder what she teaches. I wish it said, because if she teaches like English, I don't know anybody that could use words better than a rapper. That's probably hard to do.
Might help
that.
Her out.
I remember when Tyg was trying to be a rapper. What was your rap name? Nasty Boy, you said you went by? NASTYBOI?
Yeah.
Oh, Nasty Boy. Do you think he'll come out of retirement?
Well, I had a couple hits. Then I kind of didn't have hits after that, so I gave it up.
Did you see this? Two women and childhood friends are attempting to drive a 500-mile drive down the coast of Florida to earn the Guinness World Record for longest distance by toy cars. They're attempting the journey as a fundraiser to save animals. Here's Cassie talking about why they decided to attempt the 500-mile drive.
We used to ride around with toy cars as kids, and we've always wanted a Guinness World Record attempt, so we're like, this would be a fun way to, like, kind of honor our childhood. Originally, it came as kind of a laughable idea, and then it kind of turned into this, like, actual thing that we decided to do.
Now, doesn't your son have one of those little toy, the electronic things you sit in, the cars?
Yeah, they got them, yeah.
Now, that's going to be fun for about mile one.
Right.
Yeah, let's hear a clip from about mile 499.
By the way, those things, when you charge them, they don't last that long.
Correct.
So that's going to be
It's uncomfortable, so we'll see what happens. A tow truck driver in Philly accused of stealing at least 7 vehicles using his tow truck to take them away. Here's the police department talking about what happened.
What they're focusing in on are older model vehicles, ones that they think they can take without, you know, what it doesn't demand or warrant the owner's immediate attention. A lot of these vehicles, they've been parked for some time. There's debris on the vehicles. They have flat tires. They're waiting for repairs.
So this guy just goes out there, loads them up. He's got 7 of them.
I've seen these like videos on TikTok of these tow truck drivers. They can get a car in about 4 seconds if they want to. You wouldn't have any chance to even notice it.
It's pretty amazing.
In some cases, yeah.
One more here. A TikToker posted a hack for getting free snacks at hotels. You have your mom or dad call before you check in and tell them to say they want to do something special to make your something small to make your stay a little more special. So in other words, you would have your mom, Elaine, call and be like, "Hey, my son is checking in. I just want to see if there's something you could do to just make it a little more special for him." And they will sometimes leave snacks and stuff.
Really?
Listen to this the clip.
Sorry.
Every time I'm traveling, my mom calls the hotel to do something special for me, even if it's not a special occasion. I'm in Vancouver right now, traveling for work, and my mom called the hotel and had them put together a little gift basket. Just checked into my hotel, and not only did I get free snacks, but they also wrote me a little card. You or your mom isn't calling the hotel every single time you travel. You're doing something wrong.
There you go.
That's a pretty good idea.
I mean, you want some pretzels? Who cares? Snack.
Well, I'll call a restaurant every now and then and make a reservation, and then they say, "Is it for something special?" And I go, "No." I should say yes. They give me a free flower or something.
What do you think they're going to do, though?
You know, throw a rose on the table or something.
Maybe give you some champagne?
Yeah.
All right. Well, coming up.
Not a bad idea.
In about 1 hour, tickets to Blake Shelton's All in the Hall concert, March 30th at the BOK Center.
It's 98.5 The Bull. Good morning.
98.5 The Bull weather, provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.
Good morning. It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and hello, Daniel.
I was pleased when you returned from spring break because your voice pretty much back to normal. But what, 90-95% back to normal?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
And then as we're sitting here across from me, you've now sneezed about 3 times. So I guess now that you've gotten over that one thing, you're getting over into now allergies, I suppose.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are dealing with that. I was outside yesterday. And, man, like, the grill cover is yellow, and the car is yellow. And so we got all that allergy stuff going on now. And I look at the trees, and they're starting to bloom. So I guess we're just in that season where if you are susceptible to pollen and allergies, man, it's not a good time.
So now you're starting to sneeze a little bit, and what are you going to go do today? Play golf. Yeah. This is a mistake.
Unless
you wear it in a full gas mask. I'm going to go by the Army Surplus Store and get you a gas mask. Maybe then you can play golf. I've got some tips for you here to reduce allergy triggers. Some you might have not thought of, Tug.
All right.
Don't you love these tips?
Let's go.
Don't cut your grass. Avoid lawn mowing, weed pulling, and other gardening chores that stir up allergens.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy for that anyway, don't you?
Yeah, a guy comes over.
Has he started this season yet, by the way?
I've got him come over today. So.
Send him my way, too.
All right.
I'll text him. Remove the clothes you've worn outside and shower and rinse pollen from your skin and hair. So I guess before you go to bed at night, you should shower.
Oh, wow. I didn't ever consider that. And same. Yeah, they're right. Like, your clothes are also covered in pollen. So even if you go inside and you think you're getting sort of a break from it, it's still, you're bathing in it.
They say if you kind of hang your laundry up outside, don't do that. Pollen can stick to sheets and towels.
What was your tip? You had a tip about, they say something about local.
If you, they say if the allergy season's really bad for you, and it's got to be local, but you just eat a smidge of local pollen, lick your windshield.
I think it's.
It's got to be local pollen, though.
I think it's you eat local honey.
That's, no, pollen.
So you just go lick your pollen?
I don't know. I've never tried it. I don't suffer from these allergies like you do. But if you scrape up some pollen, local pollen, I think you can eat some of it and you'll be better.
Well, I had heard about the local honey thing. And they say, hey, if you eat local honey, it'll help you, like, I don't know, your body learns. And then it has, like, a fighting force against pollen. And I said, all right, yeah, so I need to go get some honey, local honey. And then I said, well, I ain't going to get local honey. I'll just get regular honey. And then I didn't realize it has to be local honey because...
It's not effective.
Yeah, it's not effective at all.
By the way, have you been to the honey aisle lately at Reese's?
No.
I used to, it would be just like a honey bear, and that's it. Just one bear. Now, buddy, I'm talking unfiltered honey.
They're going
crazy. And that honey. There's about 50 different types of honeys. For real. So,
well, good luck out there. It is a little pollen. I looked up the pollen count. It's all in the red and stuff like that.
That's what they say also, too, is keep an eye on the pollen counts and maybe not get out
if you don't have to.
You know who else? Alan Crone says he suffers with this really bad. So you and him need to have some type of News on 6's Alan Crone, meteorologist up there. You and him need to have like some kind of like allergy club where you exchange tips and tricks.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That sounds like a fun club to be in, the allergy club.
You know what's not fun is to hear you hacking, coughing for literally months at a time. It's like trying to do a show with that Doc Holliday from Tombstone. But you can help it. You got to do something.
Well, thank God I'm not coaching baseball outside all season this
year. You're doing that too.
Yeah.
I'm about to have to put you in an iron lung.
Tig and Daniel on 98.5 The Bull.
It's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. I got my little brother coming to visit me, and he's got two little girls. So I asked Daniel earlier if you had an air mattress, but... and he said you could help me out with, like, not an air mattress, but something else. Because I forgot what happened to your other air mattress. And what happened to your other air mattress is that Daniel and I went camping. And he brought the air mattress to put in his tent. And we went down to Oklahoma Joe, you know, the guy who makes the grills and all that. He has a ranch here in Oklahoma. And he said, guys, if you just want to go to my ranch, you can camp out. And we just had, like, this random spot on a gorgeous piece of land. And it wasn't like we had any bathroom. It was like literal camping in a field, you know. And then it's time to get the kids to bed. And so I get in the tent and, you know, trying to get the kids down. Daniel goes to his tent. And what happened to you over there?
Well, I was finally falling asleep and comfortable. You know how it is, right? When you find that comfortable spot, you can feel yourself drifting off. And then I started to hear, I somehow poked a hole in my mattress. It's leaking slowly, and I just knew that you know, the last bits of comfort are just fleeting right now. They're leaving, and there's nowhere that we could have went and got a new air mattress or anything like that. So I just basically had to just lay on the ground.
Yeah, and this piece of land we were on had been bush hogged, so there's all these like sticks coming up from the earth.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a, you know, a golf course or anything like that. I mean, this was like wilderness or something, and so there was like a million things poking you all night.
It was bad. I had my dog in there with me, and I think I was disturbing him, and Oklahoma Joe was like, yeah, if you had that dog, you might want to tie him up because there's coyotes around here. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I thought maybe there'd be one to two coyotes. Apparently, whenever coyotes start to howl, whatever they're doing, there's about 1 million. Yeah. Did it not sound like
a
bajillion of those things?
Yes, yes. And then we heard something walk through our campsite.
Yeah, I don't want to know what that was. It was either a Bigfoot or Oklahoma Joe had got into the drinks and walked past us. I'm bringing this foldable foam mattress you can get on Amazon. Way superior to the air mattress. It won't pop. Now, it's a bit of a pain to store because it's big foldable foam mattress.
But it's more comfortable. Air mattresses
way more comfortable.
Stink, man. I hate those.
I don't like them either. I hate an air mattress.
I mean, it's just better than sitting on the, or sleeping on the hardwood floor.
It's slightly better than the floor.
Yeah. You'd almost be better off on the floor with it instead of an air mattress. But it's 98.5 The Bull with Tig and Daniel. It's almost 7 o'clock. Good morning, guys. Luke Combs. Seven oh six Friday morning. Hey there, Daniel. Coming up, we got Blake Shelton tickets all in the hall, and not just Blake's going to be there. A lot of other people are going to be there. 7:40 with our bullfight.
Mm-hmm. My dad down in Alabama. He's a single guy, dates. Guess he's in his 60s now, and dating's still complicated. Even no matter how old you are, I guess dating is difficult, right? Mm-hmm. He had went out with a couple of ladies, and this one particular lady, one time, he was like, "Yeah, it didn't work out." I was like, "Why?" He's like, "Well, I like when women wear dresses." She wouldn't wear dresses. And I'm
God.
What is that? Why in God's name would my dad prefer women to wear dresses?
He broke up with a lady that could have been the perfect person.
I'm not saying he broke up with her over it, but I think it was a factor.
That she wouldn't wear a dress?
He just likes dresses.
Do you know if she told the lady, "I'd like for you to wear a dress"? I mean, I don't even know. That's
I think
the right
that
thing
was maybe the issue. They'd gone on a cruise or something, and he was just like, "Hey, you know, just to let you know, I like dresses." And then I guess he didn't feel like she wore enough dresses.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just trying to figure out what it is about dresses. Like, if I were Sigmund Freud or whatever, what it is about dresses that he likes. And it must be back when he was younger, that was what women probably wore a lot of dresses, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe that's what it was.
What was she wearing that wasn't a dress? Just pants?
Whatever. What a question. What is she wearing that's not dresses? Yeah, other clothing. And I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable to hear him be like, I like when women wear dresses. He didn't say it like that, but that's how I heard it.
Right.
What could it possibly be? Is there any particular thing that you like when people wear? Ladies specifically, I suppose?
Yeah, I got something that I like.
What's that?
I don't know if I should say it.
Well, is it weird?
No, I don't think so.
Is it raunchy?
No, no.
Well, then say it. What is it?
I like a hairband.
A hairband?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
What does that even mean?
You know, like a hairband. Isn't that called a hairband?
I don't know what you're talking
about.
It's
like in the shape of a U and they put it on their heads.
Okay. Okay. What is just any hairband?
I don't know.
What you used to always mention, because when we were younger in the early 2000s or whatever, you liked when women wore those overalls. And those are coming back, buddy, in a big way. I see overalls all the time around here.
I didn't say I liked overalls. I said that when I was in college, girls used to wear overalls all the time.
And you liked that.
And they would wear ball caps to class, too. You know, they didn't want to get ready or whatever, and that was kind of the fashion at that time.
So you like
that's all coming back?
You like ball caps, headbands, and overalls. Mm-hmm. We got to find you a lady in the mountains. Some lady out walking around. Do you know what attractive what a uniform I've always found attractive, and I'm really ashamed of this?
I don't know if I want to hear this.
The Cracker Barrel uniform.
You think the Cracker Barrel uniform's hot?
Does it for me. I don't know what it is, that apron with those stars on it.
You're a freak.
I don't want to hear it over here, old headband and overalls.
You think that apron is hot? Would they have their name across it?
I don't know what it is. Like I said, it's a strange thing. It's something about Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I'd say it is strange.
You're not in Cracker Barrel just looking around going like, oh, everybody looking here looks gorgeous.
Nah.
Really?
I'm playing that golf tee game where it says you're an idiot or whatever.
I like a lady in uniform. Oh, you're talking about the golf tee. They still have that out on the
triangle
table, by the way.
I don't know.
What he's talking about is the wooden triangle. It's got the golf tees in it, and you're supposed to jump each golf tee almost like checkers, and it's like an intelligence test. And at the end of it, if you've got one golf tee left, you're like a genius. If you have two, you're like smart. But then they get a little mean down toward the end. Like if you have four or five, they're like, you're an imbecile. I'm not even sure you can call people imbecile anymore.
Yeah, they might have had to take that out of there. Can't insult people like that.
Well, I'm a little kid. And then, you know, I grew up thinking I'm an imbecile because I couldn't get all the golf tees jumped. Well, pretty mean game, by the way.
If there's any ladies out there that...
I'm not saying that. I'm not asking
crush
for
on
that.
Daniel a little bit and you want to, like, really impress him. When you come to the BOK Center or something like that for a concert and he'll be there, wear that Cracker Barrel outfit.
You know what I should do is get a job at Cracker Barrel.
Oh, my God.
After I get off the air, I can go work at Cracker Barrel.
You'd have too many kids.
At Cracker Barrel, a little bit of a dangerous place to eat because I don't know of anywhere else where you go eat and then you look up and hanging from the ceiling is like a scythe or a pitchfork or something.
Saws and stuff.
You know that stuff has to occasionally fall off, right?
And then, fall on somebody. That's right.
You're like, maybe don't sit me under the anvil hanging from the ceiling.
Well, Daniel, that's the risk you take if you want to see ladies wearing Cracker Barrel uniforms.
I guess you're right.
It's 98.5 The Bull.
98.5 The Bull weather provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.
So I'm not the biggest basketball fan there ever is, but I think everybody kind of hears about March Madness and you fill out your bracket. And even if you don't know what you're doing, you fill out a bracket maybe and people like gamble at work, you know, filling out a bracket and then you pay money or something. Then at the end, somebody wins the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? Do you know what your chances are of of winning or filling out the bracket perfectly?
I've heard this somewhere, like a billion to one or something.
No. That would be good odds. Because Warren Buffett years ago, our buddy up there in, where does he live? Omaha, Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if anybody fills out a March Madness bracket perfectly, I'll give you $1 million. Now, that's a safe bet. He's not going to have to give anybody $1 million because nobody can do it. It's one, and I don't even know this number to be honest. It's 1 in 9.2 quintillion. Now, I don't know what that means. But it would be like winning the lottery like 100 times or something. Like, you cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these people fill out the brackets and they try to make money. And I guess, you know, whoever does the best with their bracket. But there's nobody that's ever filled out a complete bracket the right way.
I don't know that Oklahoma is... Where were we North Carolina we were working in. And for March Madness, for whatever region, that region... They might as well have shut work down. People were in their offices watching television. It's humongous over there. I don't think it's as big a deal here in Oklahoma.
No, I mean, because you and I grew up in a college football state. Oklahoma is a college football state. But over there on the East Coast, they're all basketball schools, Duke and NC State and all that stuff. And that's all they ever talked about. Because Daniel and I went to Auburn, a football school, and I would go and, you know, meet with people, and I would say, yeah, I went to Auburn. And then they would, like, snicker because we didn't have a great basketball team at the time. So, you know, it is regional in a sense. I mean, the people on the East Coast go nuts about this, but
I was shocked that people would be in their offices like, this was a place of business now, and it would basically shut down.
Yeah.
So people would watch literal, full, right, entire basketball games.
Yep. And you still got, like, former presidents. They fill out their brackets and tweet about it and stuff like that. I mean, I guess people, I don't know anything about basketball. Here's the thing about basketball to me, and I don't mean to be disparaging about it. However, I got to say that all you need to really watch is the last minute of that game.
Well, that could be said.
It's always like 78 to 79. Well,
that could,
like,
be said about any sport, couldn't it?
You think so?
I mean, couldn't you shave off about an hour off of every sporting event there's ever been? How long is a baseball game?
About 3 hours.
Too long.
Too long. So you would just start every baseball game in the eighth inning.
Right, correct. Each baseball game, one inning.
Every football game, you start in the fourth quarter.
Well, you know yourself, you have kids in Little League. Your son is in Little League, and make those games about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't need an hour and a half. The kids don't like it. The parents don't like it. Nobody likes it.
Yeah, just I was down at La Fortune.
Slim them down a little bit.
I was down at La Fortune one time coaching a baseball game, and a kid on the other team came up to me. And it's like 8:30 at night. It's past their bedtime. The kid on the other team comes up to me and, he said, when is this going to be over? Like, they like it for the first 20 minutes. And after that, it's like, not sure I want to be here.
98.5 The Bull Weather, provided by Community Care, your locally owned health plan.
I guess everybody's allergies are kicking up, and I'm making a bright decision today. Because I don't know what, you know, Daniel saw like an x-ray of my head one time, and there's something wrong with my face.
You have a deviated rectum.
Septum. And so, like, you know, and I go out to the car and it's covered in yellow, and then, you know, other things are covered in yellow. It's all over the place. So I know a lot of people who are suffering from allergies. This is not your time of the year. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do today is go play golf, which is just brilliant.
Right? I can hear, for whatever reason, your voice is already a little more gruff again. So
yeah.
I've just gone through a month of you being deathly ill, sick, voice awful.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody's sick, you can't help it. You're a good little, like, you're like, ugh, annoyed because of all the coughing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet your wife is about ready to leave.
Well, I talked to my stepmom yesterday or so, mm-hmm, and she was just checking in on me or whatever. And she said, I knew you were sick like a month ago because of the podcast, right, that we have, that we upload, Tyga Daniel, T-I-G-E and Daniel. But, you know, she never, like, called me exactly. She just knew I was sick and goes, all right, he's sick.
Well, she's supposed to call and say what?
I don't know, because now it's totally different nowadays when you're sick. Used to, like 20 years ago, if somebody said, hey, you're sick, they would say, can I do anything for you? Can I bring you a meal tonight? Do you want any medicine out of my purse? Nowadays, if somebody knows you're sick, they say, get the hell away from me. It's like the opposite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They try to disengage, not engage.
Do you think that when you were sick for like that month with the coughing and the sputtering and all that, do you think your family became annoyed with you?
Yes, I do.
I used to have a roommate, and this guy in college, and he would constantly like clear his throat or something. Yeah. I remember, and I told you about this game, and you've started sometimes playing it too with people. I would sit there, and I would watch TV, and I would try to count to 10 without having to hear this guy like...
Did you go 10 seconds without hearing the noise?
He never went. The entire 2 years that we lived together, I never got 10 seconds without... So I bet that that's happening all over the whole country right now with allergy issues. You can't help but to get a little frustrated with the person.
Now, let me ask you a
question. Because of the sneezing and all that, yeah.
We sit, I don't know, 6-foot range apart, face to face. Have you been annoyed?
Not annoyed. I've been like, why doesn't this guy just do what he needs to do to take care of this so that we don't all have to hear coughing and sputtering for 6 weeks?
I went to 2 physicians. What do you want me to do?
You do what Dr. Daniel says. Dr. Daniel Ruth, that's what you do. I told you earlier to do a round of prednisone.
Steroids.
To get it knocked out. That's what I call the doctor. I'm a professional broadcaster. I don't know if you know this or not.
I didn't know that.
The first sign of sickness, I go to the doctor and I say, I work in radio here. I got to get this knocked out immediately. What do you recommend? You go to some weird doctor and, buddy, it sounded like you're close to dying. For real, for like a month. And you go and they just give you nostril spray.
Yeah.
Afrin or something.
The lady told me to gargle with salt water. That was her remedy.
What are you going to the Pioneer Woman doctor? Like, go to an actual doctor that gives you medication. Well, gargling with salt water is not going to cut it. I wish we could go back and hear some clips of you. You sound awful.
Yeah.
Everybody was concerned. People were calling up, is Tig okay? Is Tig okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I didn't get annoyed. I was like, I wish this guy would do what he needs to do in order to get his voice
back. I went to the doctor, dude, twice. What do you want me to do?
Not go to wacky doctors, whoever you went to. Where are these doctors you went to?
One was an urgent care, and then one was a buddy of mine that can prescribe drugs. And
here you go. Just some guy down at the old pool hall, I guess.
What's funny, man, is that the guy that I know who can prescribe drugs, I went to dinner with my wife, and they also went to dinner with, you know, his wife, so it was a couple's dinner. And he looked at me and he said, you have a bacterial infection, like without even touching me or anything. And he wrote me a, what do they call it, a Z-Pack? Mm-hmm. And I felt better, like, immediately. Right. I'd gone 10 days misdiagnosed. So I'm suing the urgent care.
I had diagnosed you, though. I know your body more than you do, Tug.
Thanks, man. That's weird, but thanks.
I'm like your grandson. I had to look out for you. I'm really close to getting power of attorney. And so now already your voice starting to get a little gravelly, and you're going to go now roll around in pollen all day.
Yeah, I kind of got to play golf. That's our boss. You know, you have to say yes, so.
I think he has sinus issues too now. So if I have to hear both of you guys out here hacking and coughing all day, I'm going to quit.
Well, I appreciate you not getting mad. You were just more frustrated that I didn't do what you wanted me to do.
I was more like, I wish this guy would do what he needs to do.
All right. I'll go get the steroid or whatever.
Too late now.
You get a shot in the butt. What? How do they do that?
They give me the prednisone pack. But then anytime I talk about this on the radio, then you get a million messages like don't talk about prednisone, all that kind of thing. So I don't want to say too
all right,
much.
So
it's very controversial, Tiger. Flu and allergy season, very controversial thing to talk about on the radio. Everybody knows this year with an election coming up that flu and allergies are the most controversial thing you can talk about.
It's not even welcome. Daniel, you know, I make fun of you on the radio all the time, but you're a good dude, and sometimes I'll have a morality question, and I want you to kind of give me, like, the answer to it.
Okay, what is the question, please?
This weekend, over spring break, we checked into an Airbnb in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And it was a nice cabin in the middle of the woods, and they said, you guys check in at 4 o'clock. And so we timed out our leave from Tulsa to make sure that, you know, we arrived about 4 o'clock. And we get there at 4 o'clock, I mean, like, on the dot 4 o'clock, and there's, like, five cars in the driveway. And I said, that's a little hinky. Like, this is our cabin, but there's five cars in the driveway. And so I was wondering if we, like, there was a booking error, like, somebody else was staying there and whatever. And so I go up to the door, and now Airbnb is, it's all, like, you pressing a code. Mm-hmm. So I had the code. And so I go up to the door, I press in the code, and I walk in. There's people all in this place. But they were cleaners.
Oh, I see.
And I said, we're your next tenants. We're supposed to check in at 4. And they say, that ain't going to happen. And I was like, all right, well, can I at least stay on the porch or something? Just chill out, because I didn't know where to go. And they said, we'd have to call and ask our company if you can hang out on the porch. Anyway, they took about 2 or 3 more hours to clean it. Because they're having to, you know, in Airbnb, they have to wash the sheets and, like, it's a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, we didn't get to check in until 2 or 3 hours later. And we just had to kill time. And we didn't really know what to do. We don't know Broken Bow that well. Do you think I should ask for a partial refund?
I would think you'd be entitled to some compensation. Partial refund? A very small partial one. I mean, if you did the math, what would it break down to be? Half a day? Say 4 hours? If you were inconvenienced 4 hours or so, yeah, I think definitely you could get
You
should get some money back. Yeah.
I'm kind of wrestling with this because it was not the cleaner's fault. In fact, I talked to the cleaners and they said, you would not believe how bad this place was when the previous renters left. Mm-hmm. They destroyed the place. And so I didn't blame the cleaners. They were working hard, man. There was like 5 of them over there mopping and dusting and everything. So, like, I don't want to get them in trouble either, if that makes sense.
Well, nobody should get in trouble, but you should be compensated a little bit for your inconvenience.
So I won't be a total jerk if I say, you know what? We kind of did miss a half day in our cabin.
Yeah. Literally, was it 2 to 3, 4 hours?
It was about 3 hours.
So after you've just driven 3 hours.
Yeah, then we're going to have to wait another 3 hours.
And then to sit there for 3 more hours. I don't think it would be unreasonable to reach out to the Airbnb host and be like, hey, this is what happened.
Sweet. All right, so you approve of that.
I mean, right?
I would think so.
Like, if you go to a hotel and somebody wrecks the room, that's kind of their business. That's the cost of doing business, right?
Yes. It's the risk you take if you're going to rent out something.
And
right?
This is a cabin in Broken Bow. How big was this thing?
Huge. I mean...
Yeah. So, in other words, it's not some guy that doesn't have any money trying to scrape by.
No, these are rich people from Texas that buy these things. Mm-hmm. And then they rent them out.
Yeah, I think you should be entitled to a little compensation.
It was built just to Airbnb.
Absolutely.
I mean, like 100%. Yeah. All right, cool. I think that's a damn fine country song. I know Chase Beckham isn't like the most famous guy, but I think that's a pretty strong song, don't you?
You enjoy it.
Yeah. That's the kind of song I'll go home and like look up on purpose. You know, do you ever go home and listen to country?
Because
it's not like that you don't like country, but... If you're like a CPA, you don't go home and do math for fun. You know what I'm saying?
I purposely try to, and this is hard to do. When you get a little older, you just listen to the same window of music that you always listen to. I try to purposely go out and find new stuff just so I can try to stay somewhat relevant. You know I hate watching Saturday Night Live and having no clue who the musical guest is. So I go out and I try to discover new songs. Don't you think you just listen to that same window of music?
I've gotten better at it, actually. I listen to K-hits now in my car a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, like, some of the artists and stuff. But now, like, you know, I do like to have that... breadth of curiosity about music that's out there. I tell you, I knew I was getting old when Saturday Night Live would have a host and I had no idea who they were.
You're really out of touch if you don't even know who the host is. Yeah, I get the musical guest. I think thanks to these streaming services and stuff like that now, it's very easy to get locked into a loop of just the same things you listen to. They'll create a playlist for you, and it's just the same things. You rarely get to discover new stuff. I think that's why radio is still able to be relevant, is because we will break new music and play new stuff that people will discover.
Yeah. I got a bite.
Tig, I'd like to know your 98.5 The Bull. I'd like to know, Tig, your microwave popcorn strategy. In other words, when you make microwave popcorn, are you the kind of guy that looks at the package and then you read off the time and then you put that exact time in the microwave and go about your day and come back when the 2.5 minutes is over? What is your strategy when making microwave popcorn?
So you're saying, do I read the instructions or do I do it by feel?
Correct.
I always read the instructions.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Foolish. Foolish boy.
What do you mean foolish?
That's a fool's game.
I also don't understand microwave popcorn.
What's not to understand?
Okay, here's what I don't understand. Is that you put that little package in and you got to make it face the right way or whatever, up and down. And then one will pop early.
Correct. That's the pre-popper.
Why is there a pre-popper? Aren't they all the same? Why don't they pop?
One has to start first.
But shouldn't they pop in sync? It's the same thing.
No, man. These are different size kernels. A whole bunch of stuff could be involved.
And then there's a late popper.
A late popper.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like 99.9999 done, and then I'll do an impression of it. It's like, pop, 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 pop.
You should have took it out a long time before the late popper hits.
Yeah, because then the regular poppers, they're burned, waiting on the late popper.
Here's the perfect strategy. You put that stuff in, you hit whatever, 3-4 minutes, then you stand there, and when it almost stops, that's when you take it out.
Oh.
There's no worse smell in the house than burned popcorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that will remain in a home for a good 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, when you sell that house when you retire, it's still going to be there.
Yeah, you like have an open house. 50 years later, somebody will come and go, yeah, you guys burned popcorn here one day?
What about those old school, and did they do this anymore? Because it was a spectacle. You could put like a tin foil version of it on the stove and it would like blow up like a ball.
I revisited Jiffy Pop not too long ago. Not good at all. I mean, it was a fun spectacle to see it get big and all that. The popcorn, not very good. Not good. Not compared to just like an Orville Redenbacher.
That's too bad.
Also, they need to take it easy with some of these butter names, like Extreme Butter. I don't want that. One was Blasto Butter.
Can you answer a question for me you might know the answer to?
Yeah.
When you go to the movie theater and you get butter, you get popcorn, And then there's like a butter station that you can now like pump. Is that butter?
Buddy, I don't know what that is.
What is that?
It ain't butter. It's something.
It's just goose.
Goose? What is it? What is goose?
No, ooze. It's just ooze.
Yeah, don't fool with all that.
Daniel's funny, man. His mom's in town, and you got to take her to the airport very early in the morning. And I'm the guy who, if I pick somebody up or if I drop them off at the airport, I just drive up and, you know, stop, you know, and those crossing guards are kind of like, you got to hurry, you know. Mm-hmm. Daniel parks the car, gets out, goes into the baggage claim. Or if you drop somebody off, you go in there and you watch them go through TSA.
I walk them. I pull their suitcase right up to that security line. Little hug, little kiss on the forehead, and watch them go through the line there. Yeah, buddy, I ain't like you. And now that I think about it, is it ruder for me to take her and walk her into the airport? That's lots more walking she's got to do.
Yeah, why don't you just drop her off at the little doors that open?
Can't do it.
Okay.
Can't do it. Not my mom. Like, maybe somebody else could. Able-bodied person and all that. But my mom, she don't want to do all that walking, carrying that suitcase.
Yeah, you're kind of messing her up. She has to do more work because you won't just drop her off.
Here's the problem we're going to run into. Now, she loves going to the thrift stores and stuff like that. So we drove here from Alabama and put her on the plane. She's bought too many things at the thrift store now. They're going to charge her for these bags, and I think one of them is going to be overweight. Am I to pay the $85 fee for it being overweight, or is that coming out of her pack? What?
Of course you have to.
I've just hosted her for 2 weeks. Now I got to pay for the baggage claim, the baggage money, too?
That's your mama.
Okay.
Do it. You won't regret it. You're not going to regret it. Somebody very wise once told me, you're never going to regret spending money on people you love.
I think I might.
But that's a good point, by the way, about, like, I go home for Christmas, and I have an 8-year-old, and the grandparents want to spoil him. And I always say, do not get him anything that won't fit in a suitcase. And they always do, and then I got to figure that problem out. So you go on vacation, and then you have to leave with more than you came with. And then that's a complicated layer to all this.
Right. So here's my point about that. She comes up to see me a couple of times a year, or every year at least. She's not going to learn her lesson on buying all this stuff from the thrift store unless she has to pay out that sweet money.
Oh, I see. You're going to
understand what I'm saying?